On the cover, across a muted starscape, streaks of fire rip across the night sky. In their center, a huge form arcs down to city center. Below, against a matte gray skyline, small points of light represent the city's last hope against the reign of Falcon. What was once simply a glossy sticker now replaces the main header. The Protean City logo wreathed in flame. This is the final issue of the Falcon Down event. This is Volume 20, Issue 6, Cry Havoc.
Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
It's Puck, the Doom Trickster. You're not going to remember me.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
I'm Alina. The rest is need to know.
Windshear, full of hot air and out of time.
Now with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
On the inside cover, against a black backdrop, reads the following quote. Shall in these confines, with a monarch's voice, cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth, with carrion men groaning for burial. Julius Caesar, Act 3, Scene 1.
The first page of this comic is split in three, because our party is split in three. But in all three shots, we have a view of the sky, and we see all of the bright lights, all of the beautiful shining yellow lights of Striped Eagle armors coming down to take hold of Protean City. And we see the enormous fire and smoke plume of the Director's Condor armor. But down below, in each of those panels, we see scared teenage superheroes. We see Puck coming to the top of his lighthouse with a unconscious silver-armored Striped Eagle over his shoulder, with a little robot voice coming from her helmet saying, brain signature abnormality, seek attention. Brain signature abnormality, seek attention. Then we have Sage and Alina on Sage's brand new motorcycle roaring down the highway, coming to a high point, coming to an exit off the highway that looks out over Protean City so they can see that fire and smoke and plumes. And we have Ben and Ramon helping Kalino out of the car just outside the hospital. Fire up above as they try to hurry him in.
Can we see Condor from the hospital?
You can see a burst of fire going across the sky, and you can see a bunch of like bright lights that you'll recognize as Striped Eagle armors. Like, you can't make out the exact shape of the armor. You can see, like, it looks like a jet hurling through the sky with a ton of fire coming out of it.
Kalino is like still like on his back, like looking out the back window of the car,
mm-hmm.
and he sees all of these lights going, and he just kind of says, Ben, what's that?
I look up at the sky, and I would now like to assess the situation, please.
Sounds good. Go ahead and roll plus superior.
And I am feeling guilty right now, so I do have a minus two on that. So I rolled a six, but I have plus three and minus two, so I have a seven.
So on a seven to nine, you get to ask one, and you'll take plus one forward when acting on that answer.
What here is the biggest threat, and why is it the giant rocket thing hurtling through the air?
Okay, yeah, like obviously it's the giant rocket thing hurtling through the air. But I think So part of Frequency reaching out and assessing the situation is always some of his powers, right?
Correct.
And so like I think we get like him kind of like pinging the object and like getting like you've worked with Striped Eagle armor now quite a bit. Mm. And so you get like a little bit of like a ping ping off of it and you get like a vision from their visuals. And you can see that this is an enormous mechanized armor. You get like a little bit of loadout information. Like it includes that it is the Condor armor and like it's got little periods. There's an editorial box saying Condor armor, question mark, question mark, question mark. And then editor's note, come up with a backronym for this later. But you can see like that it is registered under Virgil Lance, that it like with its Falcon identification and everything like that. That is the director. He's coming to Protean City.
Okay.
And he is very, very scary. You fought him when he wasn't in an enormous robot suit.
Correct.
And he hurled Puck very hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kalino, that's him. That's the director.
What's he doing?
He's making his way towards the city.
Listen, Kalino, there's no time for this. We got to get you inside.
Yeah, we've got to get you inside.
If he's headed towards Puck and Sage and Alina, they're going to need some help.
They will, and we can help them out. Ramon and I can go, but we need to get you to safety.
It sounds like you're trying to provoke. Go ahead and roll to provoke.
An 11.
Okay, so that means you get to have the stick and the carrot. So if he does it, if he goes to the hospital, then if he goes to the hospital, you'll add a team to the pool. And if he doesn't go to the hospital, he'll mark a condition.
Is there any way I would have known that he was responsible for shocking Holly? Would I have heard it like through like the helmet?
I think with superhero logic, we can say that makes sense.
Yeah.
That you would know that.
Okay. Then I'm going to mark angry and ask Ramon to drive us wherever the director's going.
Okay.
Ramon, that's the guy. He killed Holly. I have to go. I have to kill him.
Ramon gives the engine a rev. Were you out of the car or were you in the car?
Yeah, I think we're out of the car trying to like help him up the steps as we see it.
Yeah.
Before you get in the car, I'm blocking the door.
Okay.
Of the car. And I'm looking at you, eye to eye, friend to friend. Kalino, this is all my fault. I don't expect you to clean up my mess. One of our friends has already paid the price. And that hurts. I can't imagine what would happen if anything were to happen to you.
Sounds like you're expressing a weakness.
I do think I am.
Yeah, go ahead. What's the drama move for that?
I give someone influence over me. You already do.
I already have influence.
Okay, correct. So you can shift your
my labels. Also, I'm going to ask you who you'd like me to be. If I show you that person, I can mark potential. And if you're a teammate, we add a team to the pool no matter what. So the fact that I'm sharing that with you, we get a team in the pool already.
Cool.
I would have wanted to move your savior up and your mundane down, but you can't do either of those.
Okay, so I'm marking a condition.
Okay, so you're not rejecting?
No.
Okay.
Not at all.
What are you marking?
Hopeless.
Okay.
But what I'm torn between right now is being the good friend, the best friend who has your back and is taking care of you, or do I embody Ben? And am I the good friend? Or should I be Frequency, the hero trying to save the city? And it's, who do you want to see? Who do you want me to be right now in this moment?
I want you to have my back, and I want you to be the hero. We need to go do this. This isn't necessarily a logical choice. We have to go.
Okay.
The next panel shows Kalino getting back into the car and slamming the car door behind him. And the panel after that shows Ben get into the car and slamming the door behind him. And Ramon like grins at the two of them, hits the button for the radio and slams the volume way up, and it's NPR, and the wheels spin and they go flying into the night with Terry Gross talking vaguely in the background. Puck.
Yes.
You just climbed a whole bunch of stairs.
Yeah.
And made it over the tricky to get past part.
Yeah, then out onto the ladder.
Out onto the ladder. And you're into your clock tower.
Yeah. So there is a big old beat up couch that John usually sits on. And he is going to dump this striped eagle armor on it. And he's going to look around for the assistant, the fairy John thing that lives in his lighthouse.
I'm trying to remember. At one point, did we say that he becomes more John-like the more...
I think so.
The further along you are? How close are you?
Right now, I'm one doom track away from marking my last doom sign, and then I will fill that track one more time, and then I have to my doom arrives.
Okay. We hear the ticking feet of like the crystal... the crystal sharp points that it walks on, and around a corner, kind of in darkness, we see the shape of, like, you know, John's face and like a little bit of like upper body, and it calls out, you've had an eventful night.
and it's not done yet. And John is going to he's going to take off his mask.
Okay.
So he's just got the hood on.
Yeah.
And he's going to pop the helmet off of the striped eagle. I guess it would have already been off, actually.
Yeah.
So let's say that, and so he props, so like the face mask, I'm imagining that the striped eagle thing is like, it just pops up kind of like Iron Man suit style, and he's just going to grab it from behind and rip it entirely off.
Okay.
And then just put a pillow under her head.
Yeah.
And he's going to turn back to the assistant and just be like, I can't stay. I have to go back out there. There's still more to do. I still need to be a hero. I need to be Puck. But this one, she's hurt. She's wounded. And maybe I made her that way. I definitely made her. That's a story. But I think that whatever she is, she's been touched by the trickster too now.
There's a little cough and her eyes open and her back is current. Like, she's set up so that you can't see her face right now, but the reader can see. And her eyes are just fully black. Just like the black distortion magic that you have.
Yeah.
And she kind of like breathes in and out and says, John, I've got a lot of memories in my head and you and I are going to have to talk later, but I don't think I can move yet.
No, and you need to stay here. Here is safe. This is sanctuary. I don't think that he can see you here. And so just in case he's seen you, this is the place you can be safe.
And then the fairy comes out from kind of where it was partially hidden, and you can see it no longer has the spider-like lower body. Its lower body, like it has kind of bare chest to like just below the ribs, and then just a bipedal crystal thing. Like, it's looking very much like John.
Does it have like reverse hinged knees?
Yeah, it still has like the reverse hinged knees and everything like that. So I get like tink, tink, tink comes out and it looks down at itself and looks back at you and says, he has his eye very much upon you.
I know, it's not good.
And he is going to find you.
Not if I find him first.
And the fairy nods and kind of like tinks over to the fridge and pops it open and grabs a corn Fanta and starts bringing it back over to Striped Eagle. Are you gone by the time he gets back?
I think that as he walks off, John is going to sit down quickly next to Striped Eagle, whoever this is now, and just be like, You'll be safe here. My friend, he looks like me. He'll help you. Ask him for whatever you need. But don't leave. You have to stay here. I've got to go be Puck.
That's really fucking creepy, John.
What isn't these days? So John is going to go step outside.
And, like, we get, like, a last panel as you're going out the door where, like, she's being handed the Fanta. And, like, there's, like, a little bit of that black kind of pixelated mist that, like, connects her body to the fairy for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, kind of pulls back as if burned. And the Fanta falls and shatters on the ground. Out on the motorcycle, Sage and Alina have come up to, like, kind of a high point on the highway. And, like, we have a moment just that you're stopped just to get, like, the epic looking out over the city. Most of the city is asleep. There's still plenty of lights, obviously. This is an enormous metropolitan center. But right now, the sky is actually brighter than the city itself. There's way more lights up in the air from Striped Eagles, and there's that enormous plume of fire way above the amount of light coming from the windows below. What do you do?
So, any ideas on how we get in? I did the last one.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for a type of cover of darkness type entry, but doesn't look like there's much darkness to be had.
Yeah.
So the next panel shows you, like, kicking off your brake and vroom, back up onto the road. We get a couple quick panels just, like, you know, badass weaving between.
People are pulling to the side and just stopping in their tracks.
Oh,
like,
true.
Looking up at the sky, yeah. Being like, what?
Yeah, and you just, like, vroom, vroom, going between them.
Mm-hmm.
And we come to the Falcon base. How does someone get into this base?
Well, I still have my Striped Eagle gauntlet.
Okay.
What does it look like on the outside?
I don't know. What does it look like on the outside?
So it's like a dark hole in the side of a mountain.
Okay.
That looks like it could be part of, like, a bunker or something. But
okay.
We know from Alina's intel that inside is a sprawling, huge base.
Yeah.
The mountain is a total disguise.
Yeah, and there's lots of, like, signs that you pass that say, like, danger falling rocks, danger blasting area, and different things like that.
I don't feel confident just driving right in. I feel like that's probably not going to work.
Okay.
I would like to roll to assess the situation.
Okay, sure.
I rolled a one.
So you're out looking, like, kind of, like, getting the lay of the land.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the bunker and everything like that. And, like, you've probably got some tech scanner that you're, like, doing and going, like, oh, yeah, there's all this information. And then we get the next page showing the director landing down where the big fight with the Striped Eagles happened before. So, like, he lands right next to Holly's body. And, like, there's a bunch of Striped Eagles that came with him. A bunch of Striped Eagles that were still there, kind of, like, dealing with all of the green fire. The green fire has mostly died down. And he just he's in this enormous, sharp condor armor with the big Falcon logo on it. And it says, editor's note, wait, I think we've come up with something.
Control organized non-humans destroy opposing resistance.
Nice. Yes, that is the condor armor, definitely. And he just reaches down and grabs onto the front of Holly's helmet and just rips it off of the body. The helmet, not, like, the front of the helmet, not the head. And holds it to his own face for a moment and goes, activate swarm. The Striped Eagles all around him, suddenly their masks pop up. And we see the nanobots lighting up red and their eyes shining red. And their suits open and they fall down to the ground and, like, kind of, like, you know, go into, like, very uniform 3-point stance position. and their suits hurl away from this square. They go out and form like an enormous perimeter around Brodian City, almost like a disconnected dome of dots, just the armors themselves. And then they fold out, and the bright, like, repulsor technology blasts that Striped Eagle uses offensively just connect all of the suits. And it forms this enormous dome of energy and metal around Protean City. And the various Striped Eagles, now without their armors, like all of the, essentially all the Hollies, still have repulsor hands on, but otherwise are out of their armor and in like jumpsuits. But their eyes are lit up red, and they have like the red veins from the nanotech, like hulked out just like Lunar Lens did. And the director says, "Round up the mutants and kill them." And what Sage and Alina see is the enormous force dome forming around Protean City behind where they have come from. They are locked out of Protean City. And the rest of us are locked in.
So I guess we're going in then.
Only way through is through.
Are you able to tap into their security monitors and see anything? I don't really know how your telekinesis works.
Yeah, I'm not Ben.
I'm sorry. I'm stressed.
It's fine. You know what? I haven't seen guards walk past us for the past 20 minutes. And I've been monitoring the activity and the heat signatures, and it doesn't seem like there's a whole ton of people around. Do you want to just go in?
Hold on. And I'm just going to fucking punch it, and we're going to zoom in the entry.
Yeah. There's like, as you're coming down towards the bunker, once you're inside, there's like a Falcon security guard sitting there in like plainclothes security kind of garb. Like not like Falcon logo, but like kind of a rent-a-cop sort of look. And he's got like a coffee and a clipboard. How do you take him out on the way through?
My leg.
Cool. Yeah. So just like the leg comes up whack across the face. Mm-hmm. So we get like the shot showing Sage swinging out a leg and clocking him. And then the motorcycle, like, going down a couple of quick, like, passageways, and you come to an elevator.
Can my bike fit in the elevator?
It'd be a little awkward. You'd kind of be, like, kind of... You'd have to bring it in. You'd have to bring it in a little diagonally.
Oh, I can't ride it in?
You could ride it in and then pull back, and then ride it in and pull back.
Like, I don't want to do an 18-point turn.
Okay.
You might, yeah, so, it'd be like an awkward turn.
So we're going to get off the motorcycle, and I'm going to take whatever weapons she's equipped me with for my birthday in the sidecar, because BFF gives you weapons for your birthday, duh.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. So what weapons do I have?
Definitely you have a taser and a Crocodile Dundee sized knife.
Knife? I have a knife.
You have a knife.
Perfect.
Perf. So I'm going to grab my grappling hook, my taser, hook it on my belt, and my knife, and I'm going to grab Alina's hand, and we're going to walk in the elevator.
Perfect. And so, like, the last panel we get shows you putting your hand against, like, the scanner.
Yeah.
Like, the numbers disappear. There's a couple numbers that are, like, available for pressing and a little screen. But obviously this is bypassing that. Just changes to B13. And it goes, credentials accepted. Deactivating equipment. And your glove just, like... And shuts down.
Why?
It goes into like a sleep mode.
Why?
Because they don't trust Striped Eagle. This is the lab that created Striped Eagle. And when people are made in labs, sometimes they come back looking for revenge.
Balls.
But it is still bringing you down. And the elevator drops and drops and drops. Now, Puck, you're probably closest to the epicenter. Yeah. Where are you going after getting out of the... Like, you're standing outside on the edge of your lighthouse.
Yeah, he has climbed... So, like, the room that he actually like, hangs out in is the room that's just below the actual light part. Okay. So he's climbed up to the light and is looking out over the city and watching all of these interconnected stars now hovering over the city, forming this force field, this dome, this swarm. And he's looking out over the city, and I assume he sees, so he also has been up there long enough to see that missile shot of the director, or what he assumes is the director, because he, like, we just fucked with a whole
Common
bunch
hero
of
yeah. logic, also.
Yeah. We messed with his toys, so now the director's gonna come fix it.
Yeah.
And sees that he lands. And so I think that John is gonna basically, like, just jump off the lighthouse.
Okay.
And, like, head towards the center of town.
Yeah. We get a couple of panels of you just running rooftop to rooftop. And I think he's gonna get there before the three of us do. So we get a panel that shows Puck, like, perched on the edge of a building, just because we're a little further and we're in a car. So we see Puck perched on the edge of a building, and you can see the director in his big armor. And you can see that there's probably 8 striped eagles still around him, just outside of their armor, but with their repulsor hands still. And their eyes are all lit up red, and they're starting to just spread throughout the city.
And John is going to stop and pull out his cell phone.
Okay.
And call Frequency.
Okay.
And just be like, hey, how's Sokotoa? You guys good? You at the hospital? Is he getting help?
About that, we're headed towards the fight with Kalino.
Oh, well, I guess good, because this looks like it's gonna be a real pain.
Yeah. We need to make sure we're all okay, but I think Kalino's right. Strength and numbers and all that stuff.
Okay.
So, I mean...
Is there anything going on with the director right now that is time sensitive that looks like he's doing something immediately? Like,
He's giving instructions to various striped eagles. Like, he's holding up striped eagle's mask and using it to give direct instructions into the nanotechnology.
Then what John is going to do is he is going to stay up on this... He's going to stay up on the top of this building overlooking this square.
Okay.
And he's going to wait until he sees the car that they are coming back in.
Okay.
Before he jumps down.
Okay.
And makes his move.
While you're up there, you do see, like, you see some striped eagles. This is mostly in a more businessy district. But there's, like, there are some residential areas, like some residential, like just like small residences as well. Like little apartments above restaurants and stuff like that. And you can see that some of the striped eagles are starting to like go into those buildings. They've got like basically like a light, like a flashlight coming from their hand. And they like go to the front door and no nonsense, just blast the door off the hinges and then walk in. And like, so these striped eagles are, there are a lot of them and they're going all over the place. In different directions.
I think that, so what John is going to do while he's waiting is he's kind of like, he's almost like sketching out the whole like, the square.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with his, he's just drawing it with his finger. Like, so it's not actually being drawn anywhere. He's just like kind of like mentally drawing out the square, marking where people are. And he's going to start like, tapping on the stone of this concrete building that he's sitting on and summoning fairies, and the way that he made the sort of a fairy circle in the fight with the hands and the striped eagle previously, he's going to start doing that, where he's like summoning a fairy, sending them off to be positioned so that if he needs them later, that they'll be there.
Cool. Yeah. So there's little fairies. They're just like skittering around. They still look like fairies. They don't become more John looking.
No.
Although I will say more of them are kind of like tilting their head to the side at you. Yeah. There's like, they're doing some little John like motions.
Yeah.
Like they're squatting on top of stuff much more.
These are more like these are psychic constructs too.
Yeah.
So they're more reflective of his mental well-being than like the aid is more like more reflective of his doom.
Yeah. More reflective. And I we get like a panel that shows the three boys driving. And Ramon has one hand back on Kalino's knee and is going like, "All right, stick in there, buddy. Come on, we can get down there. We can do this, okay? How are you doing? You doing okay?"
"I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. That's my fault."
Ramon is like, he's like patting your knee and going like, "Okay, man, we can do this. You keeping together? You all right? You're heading the game?"
So Kalino's adrenaline is worn off a little bit since he's seen him. So he's in a little more pain and he's like, he's trying to not show that that pat on the leg is seriously hurting him. "Yeah, let's do this."
"Okay. Ben, you're doing all right?"
"Yeah, I need to make a phone call."
"Okay. Yeah, cool. I'll keep driving."
"Yep. I need to activate the mutant resistance in the city."
"Okay."
"Mm-hmm. Like, all out, go."
"How do you do that? What does that look like?"
"I am sure for me to do it, all I need to do is tap one button on my phone."
"Yeah."
"And any single person in the resistance just gets the, now is the time, last stand, fight for the city."
"Great. Yeah. So we get first like four panels that show various mutants, and like there's some of like the more like main character sort of mutants that we've seen that haven't been captured. Like this includes like adult Windshear. This includes it includes Crackdown, not technically a mutant, but part of that whole resistance thing. And then you turn the page, and on the next page, it's like 16 blocks that shows mutants. And on the page after that, it's like
32.
It's way more. Like the next page has like 128 mutants on it. Like it's gotten just like spreading out and getting huge. We see like there are these little tiny minuscule panels, but you can see people like getting the alert. Yeah.
But that's not the phone call I'm making.
Okay.
I need to call the mayor. Of course, it goes to voicemail.
Yeah.
Because the mayor's not going to answer a call at a time like this.
Yeah, it's a little late at night and like things are going on and they're probably talking to people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
"You've reached the office of Mayor Shen. Please leave a message. We'll get back to you in 2 to 4 business days. Thank you."
"Yeah, great. All right. That's not gonna work. Anyway. Mayor Shen. Benjamin Schultz here. Frequency. Leader of the Mutant Revolution. We've talked. You know me. I'm sure you're busy right now seeing what the hell Falcon is doing to our city right now. I'm sure you didn't authorize this. Falcon has no right to do this. Falcon has killed tonight. Falcon has injured my friends, teenagers. He's killed teenagers. This needs to put an end to it. The mutants are uprising. They are not going after the city. They are protecting the city. Call the old guard. Call the miscreants. Call everyone. We need to stand together and put an end to this."
Roll to provoke.
5 plus 3 is 8.
I have the option on a 7 to 9. They stumble, you take +1 forward against them. They err, you gain a critical opportunity, or they overreact, you gain influence over them. So they could, for example, shut down, like send the police to deal with the mutants. But I think you're making some good points. On a 6 minus, I would have hit you hard. But I think on the 7 to 9, Mayor Shen is not, they're not unreasonable. And so it isn't going to happen immediately.
The call's out.
Yeah, we get a panel that shows the mayor's office, and Mayor Shen is there, and their assistants are like running around trying to deal with things, and the police chief is there, and they're talking to the police chief, and
they're walking fast with clipboards and folders.
Yes, it's an Aaron Sorkin walk and talk. So we get panels of the walking and talking going on, and then an assistant coming up and saying, "Mayor Shen, I think you should listen to this," and handing them a phone. We get a host of panels showing like the insides of residences with red-eyed striped eagles coming in and mutants that are ready for them. And so instead of this being like them busting in and killing mutants, it's things where they like kick the door open and there's like a guy with six arms holding four bats and just like whacking away at it. And there's someone who comes in and gets like blasted by I-beams. And like there's just throughout the entire city, there is just chaos and violence. And like there's areas in there's a couple shots in the city shown with some of like the bigger known mutant heroes and things like that. We see your squad just like throwing down with like a group of 10 striped eagles, and just the city is in chaos. Moving through the streets will now be dangerous. The student driver car comes around and like comes to a parallel parking space and bumps both cars on either side, and all three car alarms are going off as Ramon, Ben, and Kalino come out.
Kalino is going to immediately start running towards the director.
So okay. As soon as I see them park, John is kind of getting up and ready to go. Because his plan was going to be distract them and let them show up and like sneak around behind.
Okay.
But if he sees Sokotoa just running in, then he is going to jump down. First things first, I'm going to mark, do game face.
Okay.
And I'm going to mark guilty.
Okay.
I am going to defeat the director of Falcon.
Okay.
Or see him feel. I don't know if it needs to specifically be me. It's just, but the Falcon, the director of Falcon, Virgil will Lance, defeated. Will be defeated here tonight.
Perfect.
And I get plus one ongoing towards rolls against him. I've done my game face. I've marked guilty. And John is going to, seeing that Sokotoa, Kalino is running into this and is going to be the one who's going to get his attention.
Yeah.
Puck is now going to wait until he has an opening.
Okay.
And then attack.
So Kalino is running up to talk to him.
Well,
or you're coming up to like.
Talk is not, he's going to shout at him.
Yeah. So the director turns to Kalino.
And Kalino's going to go, Lance. Admiring your work.
And he looks down at Holly and kind of nudges her body with his foot and goes, necessary losses. Step down, boy, or you'll be next.
And so John is going to jump down and with his game face on, and he's going to charge his burn to be ready to like make a big counterpunch or protect Kalino if that needs to be done.
Nice.
Great job. Fuck. So that would be plus conditions marked is 5 plus 1 because this is acting against Lance. Is that acting as a count? Even still, that's 6.
So that's here's
so Puck bad. Just knocked himself
so here's
out.
What we're gonna
I
do.
I just knocked myself out of this battle.
Maybe.
No, so here's I mean, and that's how this move works. On a miss, I hold 2 burn and mark 3 conditions.
But he doesn't have enough conditions to mark.
Oh.
So I'm out of this battle.
I'm going to give you a hard choice.
Okay.
Oh, God.
If you'd like, instead, I could hit you really hard.
I'll hold 2 burn, and instead of marking 3 conditions, hit me?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay. We get Puck landing on the street and like starting to charge up his burn, and Kalino and the director shouting at each other, and then the director holds up a hand and shoots. It's similar to the repulsor blasts from the Striped Eagle, but it's glaringly, blindingly light. Like, it hurts to look at, and it hurts quite a bit more to be in the middle of. And the blast just washes over Puck. For a minute, we see him standing there, and then his body is fully blocked by the amount of light rushing over him. And the director lower, and there's just a part of a building is just gone. It is melted and destroyed, and the building starts to crumble, and we see Puck's body lying in the rubble. And the director turns to Kalino and says, do not think to play with me, boy. Puck, I need you to roll 2d6 flat. What do you have?
All right.
That's a 6 and a 4. 10.
This is like a powerful blow.
That's what I thought.
When you take a powerful blow from the director's condor armor, roll 2d6 flat. No one cares how tough you are. No one cares how hurt you are. This is about the pain that kills. On a 10 plus, you're dying. If you do not get medical attention, you will die. It doesn't have to be immediately. But if you aren't in a hospital by the end of the night, you will be gone. I'm gonna be in a hospital. Additionally, if you take another blow from the director and roll a hit, you will die immediately. So, Puck, we're going to come back to you in a second. But for now, you're lying in the rubble. Ben, you saw that happen. Kalino, you're standing just in front of the director. And Sage and Alina are inside Falcon Nerve Center.
I want to use one of my depowered moves.
Okay.
It's called Thinking Ahead.
Okay.
When you have time to plan before a dangerous situation, roll plus superior. On a 10 plus, hold 3 prep, and then I can use those prep for things.
Cool.
That is a 6 plus superior is a 7. Okay, on so a 7 to 9, hold 2 prep and mark a condition.
Okay.
I'm going to mark angry.
Okay.
Yeah. This cool. whole thing is frustrating, and now the one really good weapon that I've gotten, like all the things that I use to defend myself keep falling away from me, and yeah. now it's just me and a knife and a grappling hook and my best friend and a taser and this voice in my head.
Okay.
So
you've got, so basically like now you've spent some time thinking, you've got some plans put together. This is basically a way to use your planning after the fact, right? So like you don't have to, so we don't have to sit here doing planning.
No.
Yeah.
It's, I can do specific things yeah. from a list when they come up.
Exactly.
I'm going to turn to Alina in the elevator and just say, I don't know what we're about to face, but you know what my target is. Are you coming with me?
I'm just going to stare at her for a few seconds and say, I think you've got this. But I have something I need to do here too.
Okay. And I'm just going to give her hand one last squeeze before the doors open.
The doors open and you're in a darkened science lab. There are like some... there's some of the small lights on the floor, just like there was in the other Falcon base, to kind mm-hmm. of show you your way around. And you see glowing green tanks of liquid. The ones over here by the door are all empty.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see kind of further into the lab, you see a woman with a, like, sitting at a computer looking at just dozens and dozens of screens around the city. And like you can, we can see from the reader's view, like these are cameras from, like these are the eyes of the various different striped eagles that they're seeing through. And she's making like little adjustments here and there.
Did she see us or her back is to us?
Her back is to you.
So,
because this is a comic book and that's way more
really
dramatic. Yeah.
So I'm going to see her back towards me and I'm just going to make quick eye contact with Alina, we both know we have separate missions and we're both capable. So I'm just going to go and I'm going to very quietly try to like hurriedly tiptoe up behind her. And if I am successful, I'm going to put her in a sleeper hold until she passes out.
Okay. Act of desperation. My idea is that, so like why I'm doing this instead of directly engage a threat is she's not a physical threat to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But sneaking up on her is something that would be like she might notice you before you get to her. If she doesn't, she's out. You got her.
I got a 14.
She's out. You got her. Like we get a panel that shows you come behind and just like catch onto her neck and she swings like her hands for a minute. She's not a metahuman in any way. She goes down.
Okay.
Nice.
I'm going to very carefully lower her to the floor quietly, just in case there's somebody else here. Mm-hmm. And I also don't want to actually hurt her.
Okay.
I hand you some zip ties.
I'm going to secure her, her hands behind her back, and secure her to like one of the big support units in the building. Cool. So that she's stuck. And I'm going to start looking around for the things that John described in his telling of what the Lunar Lens clone remembered.
Okay.
She remembered these tanks. We know that the tanks are memorable. I'm looking around on tables. I'm looking around for like a containment unit where the original might be, but yeah. I'm looking for a Lunar Lens.
Yeah. This is like a big like warehouse sort of space.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like rows of these tanks, and almost all of them are empty. You see that most of them have like, they have little placards on them. And so it has like SE-235,
right?
SE-542 and stuff like that. And because they've taken over the whole city, they're all out there. But as you go through them, and like we get a couple of panels that shows your face kind of like illuminated green from the liquid, and then one that shows you stopping at one. And looking up, you see that there are now some that are full. And there's some of the prisoners that we've described before, including Lunar Lens, Hermosa Vida, Vapor Fist, and others.
So I'm going to look at the plaque and make sure that it says like Lunar Lens Original or Prime.
Yeah,
or
Lunar Lens Prime.
And I'm going to try to assess the situation to figure out how to get her out of there safely.
Okay. Go ahead and roll plus Superior.
12.
Okay. So you get to ask too.
What here can I use to remove Lunar Lens safely from this tank?
Okay. If you'd like, you can ask them after you hear the answer. Up to you.
Ask the second question, you mean?
Yes, I'm sorry. Like, so like, yeah, you can ask the first question, I can give you an answer, and then you can ask the second one after. Because it might inform your second.
I do have a second question. I'm ready with a second one.
Okay,
question.
Up to you.
So what here can I use to get her out of here quickly?
Okay.
Or safely? Mm-hmm. And what here is in the greatest danger? Because if I see that someone's dying in a tank, or like I'm worried that by only removing her, the rest are going to die or something, that could also influence my decision.
Rob just shot a brick.
Thank you.
I didn't process what that noise was, so I was like, what is going on? You
can hear a pin drop.
Or a dice.
So to the first question, there's various gauges and buttons and switches and everything, and through like kind of paying attention to it and being careful as you look at it, you're able to see like, okay, so we'd want to equalize pressure first and then lower the water content and like, you know, do the different things. You basically work out like a procedure to get her out safely.
Okay.
As for the second, you are.
Okay.
You've seen the nanotechnology work in the clone of Lunar Lens.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see that this Lunar Lens has had recent surgery on the base of her neck. And so you're guessing that she has, that she also has nanotechnology inside of her. It holds that the rest also do. Everyone's in kind of like skin tight leotard looking things.
Mm-hmm.
But like none of them look injured except that they have like essentially like a little puncture just on the back of their neck.
Okay.
From the nanotechs.
I want to go ahead then and try to remove her.
Okay.
Safely. I'm just going to assume that there's some sort of, because we saw with the clone that these things are voice activated.
Okay.
Like the nanobots.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that by just getting her out safely, I won't wake her up.
Okay.
And I can deal with the nanobots another time. I just want her out of the tank.
Yeah. And so are you just getting her out or are you getting other people out as well?
I'm just getting her out right now.
Okay.
And I'll figure that out later.
That takes a minute. It doesn't happen like immediately.
No, I know.
So there's like, and we get a couple of panels showing like the water level dropping. Alina, what are you up to?
So Sage is helping the lunar lens in to the elevator, and I come up behind her and tase her.
Okay, directly engage a threat. Plus danger.
Plus danger. That's and, 8.
Okay, so on a 7 to 9, you pick 1. Because you're going to trade blows. Unless there's something that interrupts in some way.
Yeah.
What is it?
Because I use thinking ahead, I can spend 1 prep to redirect a blow to somebody else.
Okay, who are you going to redirect it to?
I'm going
to
tase her. She comes at me with a taser. I'm just going to spin it.
We get Alina looking like regret, like putting things together and looking regretful. She like lunges forward with the taser. And Sage just reacts quickly.
Yes.
And like she sees like maybe the reflection in the elevator and turns and catches the taser and just twists it a little bit. And Alina takes the hit from it. Go ahead and mark a condition. So we get a panel of you just like turning the taser and Alina just like stumbling back being tased. Sage, what do you do?
Alina! Holy shit, what the fuck? What? Are you okay?
Yeah,
What were you doing?
I'm sorry, it's the only way I could think of.
You couldn't think to talk to me?
I didn't want you to be responsible. But we need the hexworm. We need him now.
Does Lunar Lens know about the hexworm?
Yes.
Okay. She's breathing heavily, and she goes, why would you want to bring the hexworm into this?
If we can get him to cooperate, if we can use his powers, we disable all of the nanobots. Every single one of them, the ones inside you, the ones inside everyone in this facility, the ones that are currently barring us from the city, the ones that are making up the suit of that guy who, by the way, just knocked one of our friends out. And I can only assume that the other 4 aren't far behind.
She's right, you know, comes the voice of the hexworm in your mind.
Alina, I understand why you want to take this route. I do, but you need to trust me. If I let this thing out, everything that I've sacrificed is for nothing because he's still going to be in my fucking head. And then he has the power of entire Falcon and he's not good. Like, he may cooperate for a second, but then some other shit will hit the fan. We're heroes. We can do this without him. And I've
How?
Kept-
How?
Because we just will, okay? We got Lunar Lens. We're smart.
Lunar Lens cannot help us right now. I am very sorry.
I understand that, but we can leave.
The screens in the nerve center, you can see, are now focused in on the director. Everyone is watching this, and we see Kalino, and we see Ben, and we don't see Puck hidden in the rubble somewhere. What are the 3 of you doing?
I'm going to loosen the belt that has the orbs on it. And
yeah.
A lot of those orbs are going to drop to the ground.
Okay.
Ba-ding, ding, ding, ding.
And I'm going to say to Lance, I'm like, I don't have powers, and I don't think you do either. I think you have a suit. Let's settle this like men.
Go ahead and roll to provoke.
I got an 11 on the dice.
Oh,
and what does provoke do?
Plus superior.
So what is that a bring 9.
You? That's a 9.
So he's speaking to the director.
Yeah.
And John is going to like be climbing out of this rubble, and he is just like beat to shit.
Yeah.
Probably one of the like offshoots on one of his antlers is busted and broken.
Where are you bleeding from?
Everywhere.
Okay.
I actually think that there's probably something under the mask, because he has this white plague doctor mask.
Yeah.
And something under his face is bleeding, and it's like coming out of the plague doctor nose or something, or the eye.
Yeah. It just like bubbles up. Oh my God.
That's so metal.
Yeah. And I think he's just going to, he hears what Sokotoa or what Kalino is saying.
Yeah.
And he's just going to like reach out a hand grasping towards the director.
Mm-hmm.
And he wields that dark energy that's yeah. just burning around him. And he is going to just lightly touch the director's memories.
Okay.
And just make Kalino's words linger a little more and like eat nice. Into him. And like,
nice.
This is just some kid. If I fight him in a suit, like, what does that make me? Like, maybe I should fight him. Like, I need to prove that I'm a man and like this little kid's going to fight me.
Yeah.
And like really make it linger with him and like eat at him.
Super toxic masculinity.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah. The director looks down at you, and like even if he weren't in the suit, he'd be looking down at you by a fair amount, right? He's huge.
Yeah, and I'm only 5'2" or something. 5'2", 5'3".
Yeah, and I think he's approaching 7 feet tall, I think we said.
He's a big dude.
But he puts one of his hands on the chest armor, and it just like... And it just opens straight out. So like it's still kind of like... It keeps its shape such that if he needed to, he could jump, like he could get into it again. But he has to like step down a couple of steps to get down past its legs. And even so, he's standing 7 feet tall. He's in like just like black socks and like basically like black gym shorts with an undershirt. And you can see he is just made out of muscle. Like from him in the suit, it could look a little bit like he's just like just a large dude. But like every inch of him is covered in muscles and covered in just like burns and scars. And he looks like a brawler, and he starts just walking towards you with a smirk on his face.
Okay, good. One of those orbs was Isaac.
Okay.
Who is going to go towards the suit and try to disable it, close it, anything to prevent him from getting back into it easily.
Okay. I think you need to unleash your powers, because essentially the power you're unleashing is Isaac.
Is that not directly engaging a threat? Because mm-hmm. I'm going to be fighting or engaging him directly while Isaac does something else.
You know what? That actually works better, because I was trying to figure out the way to make it so that there is a physical threat against you as this happens. I think, yes, that is directly engaging a threat.
Cool.
So yeah, because like the two of you will be exchange, like part of it is like, you trade blows, right? So like him punching, like him hitting you as you defend yourself versus him getting a blow through.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's an 8 on the dice, but I have +1 for Isaac.
Okay.
And I have a +1 for danger.
Okay.
So it is a 10.
Are you afraid?
I am afraid. It's an 8.
Okay. So you pick 1. Damn. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity, or impress, surprise, or frighten.
I think...
And if you want Isaac to get in, that has to be taken.
That's what exactly him. What I was thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the hit. I'm going to let Isaac do something to the suit.
Okay.
I'm going to take the suit from Lance.
So we get a couple panels that shows Lance just like swinging fists at you. And you're pretty quick because you're a teenage superhero. So like there's dodges going on.
Yeah.
So we get a couple panels that shows the director. Like we get just like a stark white background and the silhouettes fighting. And him just like swinging a fist at you, and you like jumping over it by like kicking off of the ground, and him like hurtling forward, and you climb up over his back, and like you get a couple like just like punches in, It doesn't look like it's doing much to him. Like, you, like, headbutt him in the face at one point, and, like, there's, like, a second that the two of you are, like, pulled back, and then we get a picture of him, just, like, a full page panel of his face just bright red with rage, and just, like, veins showing up on his neck, and he grabs onto your hand as you push it towards him, and just reaches out, grabs onto your neck, and lifts you up into the air. And he has you held up in the air. And he's, and you, like, you can feel, like, air leaving your body. Then we get a couple of little short panels, little tiny ones, little cute panels of Isaac. Dink, 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 dink. Coming up to the stairs. Getting inside the machine. Looking around for a moment. Popping a button. And his face kind of, like, peeking up and pushing his nose against the interior screen that normally the director's face would be visible through.
So he's in the condor suit?
He's inside the condor suit. He probably cannot use the condor suit. Right. He's in the condor suit, kind of hanging out in there. He's trapped in the condor suit. And he starts to, you see him kind of starting to panic and, like, scrabbling
like
at, the,
think this through.
At the window. Ben, what are you up to?
I would like to assess this situation.
Okay, go ahead and roll to assess the situation.
I roll plus superior, correct? Mm-hmm. 7 plus 3, superior. A 10.
Okay, cool. So you get to ask too.
Okay, I also have forgotten that I have a criminal mind.
You do.
Anytime I assess the situation, I can always ask one of the following questions, even on a miss.
Yes.
So is that in addition to my 2?
Yes.
So the first thing I want to ask is, how could I best infuriate or provoke the director? Or do I need to pick one of those?
No.
Okay.
The way you could best infuriate the director is taking a higher road than he's willing to take. He thinks that mutants are just as sickening and broken as he is, and that they're as filled with hate and rage, and they would kill him just as soon as he would kill them. And so taking the high road would piss him off so much. Like, clearly, taking the high road would not be... It wouldn't be really taking the high road. That would be the thing to do to make him... Seeming to take the high road, being the hero, would make him so angry.
What here can I use to take the high road?
There's a news truck nearby. And it is full of all sorts of equipment. And, like... You could, like, try to put him on the spot. And be like, hey, hold on, let's talk about this like adults.
How could we best end this quickly?
He's not in his suit. He's got a bunch of nanotech in him that makes him more powerful. Because in order to use the suits really effectively, you basically need to have nanotechnology that boosts your muscles. And he has done a lot of muscle boosting. That said, he is a person without super toughness or anything like that. If he got, like, a good blast from something, like, from one of the striped, like, there is parts of a striped eagle armor there, and there's a bunch of striped eagles that are present. Like, I don't know that he could take one of those to the face without being at least knocked unconscious.
Okay.
Like, knocking him out might handle things. There's 2 steps. That's knocking him out. And taking out the nanotech in the striped eagles would end the situation.
Okay.
Taking out the nanotech as a whole is a big step. So shut down the nanobots, and that takes out the striped eagles. Knock out the director.
That takes out the director.
That takes out the director.
Okay.
Violence is probably the way to end this quickest.
Okay.
But we're going to hop over for now to the nerve center. Where you just had a bunch of electricity put into your nerve center.
I'm feeling a little fried.
And Lunar Lens, like, I think we have the two of you kind of faced off against each other. And Lunar Lens is between, mostly on your side, but, like, with, like, a bit of, like, a hand up towards Alina, like, hey, let's not fight.
Alina? This is a moment where all of your tactical training could seriously pay off. Let's go find the nerve center computer and turn off all the freaking suits. We can do that without the hexworm.
How? Ben's not here.
We will figure it out. You saw that girl at the computer. She wasn't super, and I doubt she had any extreme training if she didn't even hear me sneaking up behind her.
Yeah, and she was monitoring, not controlling. That's the nanotech.
I'm just not ready to give up yet.
You know what? You're right. I'm sorry. I should have never asked you to sacrifice yourself like that. I know how scary the hexworm is. So I think our best course of action, and the only thing that we can really do, is let me take him from you.
What?
Listen, I know that you're scared, and I understand that, but the entire city is in trouble, not just Lunar Lens, not just our team. Every single person out there is in mortal peril. If I don't do everything that's in my power to get this shut down, I won't be able to live with myself.
Roll to provoke.
All right.
Is it too low?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a 5.
So that just means that I get to make a move. Lunar Lens looks at you, Alina, with just a look of horror on her face, and says to you, what you're trying to do, what you're talking about doing is monstrous. You're talking about helping this organism to breed itself, to control more. How could you possibly do that? And she is raising your danger and lowering your superior. And you can choose to reject or accept.
I reject.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to reject.
So it's a 6.
It's a 6. Okay. So on a 6, their words hit you hard. And the GM will shift your labels. So what condition are you going to mark?
I'm afraid.
Okay. Her superior, your superior goes down and your mundane goes up. You're in over your head. This sucks. You're not ready.
Alina, I love you for trying to do what you think is best and to relieve me of this burden. But even if you did take it, it wouldn't matter. It would still live in you and in everything else and cause a problem.
You don't understand. You get me to my father and he can fix this.
If he couldn't fix it in me, how could he fix it in you?
Because I don't want him near you.
She doesn't mean the asset. She means her father.
And I haven't told you yet that Evan Lee is my father. And I believe he has technology that can extract powers. So all you have to do after I shut down the nanobots is just knock me out and get me to the appointed.
Can I try one thing first?
I don't know if I'm willing to wait. This sounds like such a wonderful offer.
You don't get a choice.
If you won't move now, then I'm staying. I'm not going into her. This is your chance. Choose now, girl.
Easy choice. Stay put. So I'm going to use the second of my thinking ahead planning to reveal a hidden weakness of the enemy.
Okay. I think this is how it works. I think this is what happens. As you're arguing, and like you hear her say, just knock me out after,
mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, the scientist I knocked out. Mm-hmm. She might know what the hell's going on. And like you see her and like look over and see her like starting to come a little bit to consciousness.
Okay.
And like seeming kind of like you knocked her out recently, but like kind of looking like she might be able to come awake.
So I'm going to turn to Alina and say, hold Lens. If she misbehaves, knock her out. And I'm going to run up to the scientist person, grab her by like the collar and point my blaster that she doesn't know doesn't work at her face and say, I need to turn these off and you're going to help me.
Roll to provoke.
9 - 2, 7.
You drag her to the like the console, and she starts like going through some commands and setting things up, and you see like the text coming up the screen. It's so complicated and so confusing. There's just so much text going on, and as she's going through and starting to type the type out commands, like a couple pieces of information come up. She puts in like 5 passwords, and then you hear the voice in the back of your head saying, she's not going to do it. She's preparing to set them all off, to burn them all. It'll burn their heads out just as well. Stop her.
I'm going to bash her head off the keyboard.
And she goes down.
Yeah. I'm going to call Ben.
Okay.
Because I don't know what he's doing.
Things are like loaded up. Like you're in the system.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to call Ben.
Beep, 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 beep.
Hey, Sage. Not a great time, but what's going on?
I know.
In the back of the panel, we see Kalino and the director just like still like swinging. Oh, yeah, no, he's got you. So, yeah, we see Kalino held up in the air.
I'm in the mainframe computer at the Falcon base. I think I'm in some sort of system that could turn all these nanobots off. I just don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
Okay. What kind of options are you seeing? Yeah, hold your phone up
have
to the screen.
Have you tried turning it on and off again?
I'm going to hold my communicator up to the screen with the front-facing camera and like let him see what's scrolling on the computer.
Yeah, there's a ton of information coming by. Yeah, basically like all of the visual information is being processed into like text communication. And so like you can figure it out. It's going to take an Unleash Your Powers, and how well you roll on that will affect how much time it takes. But at the same time, we're going to deal with Puck. Because Puck is dying, stepping out of a pile of rubble. He's dying. And Kalino is being choked to death.
Puck walks forward. And it's kind of like it's a very uncertain, like, just got thrown through a building. Kind of like stumbly type walk. But as he's taking steps forward towards Kalino and seeing that he's being like choked out, he's taking his like more steps that are more sure, and then he starts to move faster and he's running, and he is going to climb up onto the back of the mech unit.
Okay.
And from the top of it, he like kind of like cocks his head and cracks some things that are probably broken, and then he is going to gravity storm,
okay,
with my last burn, which lets me directly engage the director,
okay,
using freak instead of danger,
okay,
and I don't have a second burn, so it's going to cause collateral damage.
Okay, so we get a panel that shows Frequency like looking at his phone, seeing the display, all of the information coming by, Lunar Lens kind of like leaning against the elevator wall, trying to look intimidating. We have Kalino being like choked, being held up there. And we have Puck standing on top and just like raising his hands up, and the ground just like starting to just crack and break, and fissures of black appearing in the air around the director and around Kalino. And the first roll I want to see is Frequency's Unleash Your Powers, because whether the nanobots are working or not might have an effect on how things go.
So I rolled an 8.
Plus Freak.
So a 10, but I did mark Hopeless for Unleash Your Powers.
Okay.
So it's only an 8.
Would you like to mark a condition, or should I tell you how it's temporary or unstable?
I'll mark a condition.
Okay.
So I'm marking guilty.
So we get Frequency putting his tech powers into his phone and traveling the distance to Sage's phone and going into the computer. And we get that effect of like the text changing color as he gets control of the computer. And so it's like, it's all red. No, red is hex worm. We'll keep red and blue. We've been doing that with the nanotech.
We had said the nanotech was
red.
Yeah,
so that's nice. So we've got like red text on the screen, and like slowly it starts like becoming all like filled in with blue. And you have control of the computer. Are you shutting down the nanotech? Or like all, are you shutting down like all nanotech, or are you like doing, okay, exactly, cool.
Yes.
Are you keeping it at like a level that like the Striped Eagle, oh, the Striped Eagles aren't wearing their suits.
They're not wearing their suits.
So you're going to be taking a bunch of strength also from them and from the director.
I'm turning off the nanotech.
Perfect. Cool.
Because also in my mind, this guy's not playing fair.
Yeah, that's
true. Kalino said, let's fight man to man.
Yeah.
And he's using nanotech to help boost him. He may not have a mutant power, but he's still using a power.
Yeah.
That's not fair. Jerk.
So we get a bunch of panels. We get a bunch of Striped Eagles throughout the city suddenly just like stopping and like looking blank for a minute and then just like lying down. Like they don't quite collapse, but they like lean against a wall and like, okay, and like rest themselves down onto the ground. In the square too, the eight Striped Eagle that were kind of watching this fight just kind of ease on down into sleepy time mode.
What about the dome?
I want to say convocation, but that was the wrong word.
It is? No, it's convocation.
Convocation?
Yeah.
The convocation of eagles. The whole convocation of eagles. Take a little nap. And I think actually, yeah, the dome, let's connect the dome with it. I don't think you want the suits to just fall.
Well, we had said that we were powering down.
Yeah, yeah.
Powering, the swarm protocol?
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a protocol for that.
So like the suits all like and start like and returning land to the bodies. They go to land near the bodies.
Yeah.
With the assumption that the bodies will then be climbing into the suits. But for now, they're all in nap time mode. And Lunar Lens leans against the wall nearer Alina for a second. And it like her knees look like she's weak. It looks like she's about to fall down, Alina.
It's only because I know Sage will be mad at me if I let her fall. So I ease her to the ground with my telekinesis so she can see what a freak I am.
Okay, perfect. And so she's also just like passed out. That is not because she was being controlled by the nanotech, but because she was all kinds of injured. The director is definitely like losing his strength. You can see his arm is starting to shake. And you feel immediately like a rush of air into your lungs as as he starts to just hold on a little bit less tightly. He doesn't have that same iron grip. Why don't you go ahead and roll?
So I get a lot of pluses in this.
You get some pluses.
I get to roll plus freak.
Yeah.
I don't have afraid marked, so there's no negatives.
Okay.
And I get plus one because I'm attacking Lance.
Okay.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
11, cool. So you get to pick two.
Oh, well, for one thing, I'm going to resist and avoid their blows.
Good plan.
I'm going to create an opportunity.
Okay.
For my allies.
Okay. Good.
For my Kalino.
For your Kalino. So the earth just starts to like shatter around him. Like it's like just like plummeting down essentially. And he's like trying to hold on and he loses his grip on you and you drop down with like your back onto concrete, Kalino. Great. And you can see from like the look on his face that this has like freaked him the hell out.
Yeah.
He goes to like, he looks like he's trying to figure out like a way to radio or do something. And then he just starts like trying to climb through the rubble back towards his suit.
From the top of his suit, I look down at him, like, climbing out of this crater that I created, and Puck just sort of says, this is what heroes do, Director Lance. They fight villains, and you're the villain.
This is what filthy mutants do. They attack civilians in this... They attack the citizens and people in this city.
Can I switch the cameras on real quick before you do anything else?
Oh, sure. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and he does not care. He's very angry. And he's trying to like charge up towards the suit. You can see inside the suit, you can see Isaac like looking out and going like and like trying to like figure out like a way to like pop out the back of it. He's stuck in there and okay. Lance is trying to get in.
I left a pile of orbs.
Yes.
On the ground.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking near them.
Yes.
I didn't leave all my orbs.
Yes.
So I'm going to throw one of them that explodes.
Okay.
At the pile.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to directly engage a threat.
Guys.
What is it? What's it at right now?
I rolled a one.
So you hurl the ball and it explodes. Like, you hurl the ball and it hits it and it explodes. And like, there's just flame going up his clothes. And he's just continuing to move. He has just like this snarl of rage on his face. And he lets out a scream. And he just grabs onto his suit and just tears it open. Grabs Isaac, just slams him down into the ground, and Isaac like hits the ground hard and just curls open and is lying there unconscious. Take a powerful blow. So you must remove yourself from the situation.
I rolled an 11.
Pass out, lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way, or two options from the 7 to 9 list.
So I will give ground, and I'm just going to take advantage of my influence. And what conditions can I give
afraid
you?
And insecure.
Why didn't you move the suit? Why are you standing on it? You're wasting time.
Okay, and so you're going to inflict a condition with that?
Yes, and okay. That seems more like an insecure condition than anything else.
So there's like a little moment where Puck is like just frozen, like as he's hearing this, like as he's hearing his teammate like not calling him not a hero, essentially, in the second. And the director just gets into the suit and blasts away from the ground and holds out his arms and growls out, "Activate Mega Condor!" And the various striped eagle suits on the ground start hurling up and Voltroning onto his suit and forming this even larger, it's like a 15-foot suit up in the air, just covered with like spikes and beaks and claws. Let's resolve quickly in the nerve center. You see, like, the cameras go freaking crazy because the cameras are all now currently hurtling inward to connect to this thing. Some of them become stuff that's completely unusable because it's like inside his arm. But you are still in nerve center. Now everything is bathed in a pleasant frequency blue. And Sage, you turn and see that Lunar Lens has apparently taken a nap.
So I think I've accomplished what I can accomplish here.
Okay.
And I'm going to run back to the elevator. And Alina, you ready to go kick some ass?
Let's go.
And we're going to take the elevator back down to the motorcycle, put Lunar Lens in the sidecar.
Okay.
And
her feet are sticking out at like awkward angles.
Yeah, it's not comfy, but like, practical.
So we get a shot of just like the motorcycle just burning up, heading out, and you can see just like this enormous shape over Protean City as more and more of these suits are coming and like affixing. The suits continue to just like come and connect onto this thing. It's getting very large. At this point, the Mega Condor has like everything. It's like 25 feet tall. It's vaguely humanoid, but like additional arms will like come off of it, just like with things moving and reforming.
I have Isaac in my hands, FYI, and I'm just like trying to make sure he's okay.
Yeah.
Because I can't lose somebody else today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'll do. I will be activating my moment of truth. This is the moment when you show them exactly why you belong here. You do any one thing, take out any one enemy, no matter how insane, no matter how ridiculous, because that's you. Their jaws are going to drop when you're done. Of course, pulling off a stunt like this tends to bring unwanted attention and a dangerous reputation. So I'm going to run over to the discarded striped eagle armor.
Okay.
And I'm going to strap on both boots.
Okay.
For liftoff. And I'm going to strap on one of the gauntlets.
Nice.
And I'm going to load orbs into it. And I'm going to shoot with the power of the suit. We've established very early that Kalino can basically aim anything.
Yeah.
So he's going to have some knowledge of how to use this weapon.
Definitely.
And everything.
Kalino, what are you doing?
We need to pull back. We need to get out of here. This is crazy.
So I'm going to take the boots and I'm going to rock it towards this guy. And I'm going to avoid any sort of debris that's coming at me, I'm just going to be like weaving in and out.
Yeah, he's swinging and blasting through the air at you.
And I'm going to get up to where his face is behind it, and I'm just going to point blank shoot like my heaviest orbs out of this thing through him, and I'm going to knock him out and have him fall towards the earth. I'm going to chase him as he's falling, and when he gets on the ground, stand over him and just continue like Brad Pitt 7 style, just be like shooting everything I have into this guy until I make sure he's definitely unconscious, if not dead.
Amazing. So is he coming out of the suit, or the suit is falling back?
He's falling in the suit.
Okay. And then you're like landing on top of it.
Yep. Right where his face is.
Incredible. So we get like those panels that show you weaving through and getting up there. And the director like is about to speak, and you shut him the hell up. And then we just have like, we show the shocked faces of the rest of the team seeing this, and people trying to like get somewhere to help in some way. But we're not even fast enough to deal with this, like, because it's so much bigger than us. And the suit comes down, and it's just boom, 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 boom. If
it's coming down right where we are,
yeah,
Puck probably is fast enough to like grab people and just dive.
Yeah, that's true. We probably so need to get out of the way. And the suit coming down, and just once the director is unconscious, and like once those blasts just like light up the inside of the suit, and there's just silence as the news crews continue to watch this enormous heroic moment of a hero saving the entire city. The second to last page has like these cut panels showing just each blast coming through at the end, with the inside of the mech just being lit up by the burst, and like just like the orbs just hitting so hard into the glass, into his face. And then we turn to the final page, and it's Kalino just ripped up. His suit is half destroyed. His black D&E suit just pitch against the night, and the smoking gauntlet in his hand. We have just voice from the news crews calling out, "This hero has saved the city from an unprecedented villain, an unprecedented threat that has been lying in wait beneath our noses for all of these years. And now, yes, I can confirm, the director of Falcon is down."
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by Brandon Leon Gambetta, who can be found on Twitter at Dr. Captain Cobalt. Penance is played by Elsbeth Denman, who can be found on Twitter at The Cat on the Wall. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at _Starkey_. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Alina Mars is played by Jessica Benini, who can be found on Twitter at herlockholmes. Puck is played by me, James Malloy, and I can be found on Twitter at andthemeltdowns. The introduction was voiced by Peter DeGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation, is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us at our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com, or follow us on Twitter at Protean City. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or wherever podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.